Good morning and happy Mother's Day.
I believe in having fun. I do. I believe that God loves to laugh. And laughter brings, what is it? It's like medicine. It brings healing to our hearts. And so I learned to laugh. You know, if you don't learn to laugh at yourself, you're really going to be miserable because there's lots of opportunities to laugh. One of the things God did in my life was gave me three beautiful daughters. Well, two daughters and one son. I'm sorry. Three beautiful children. Sorry, son. I love you. I know, I'm sorry. Anyway, and there was lots of opportunities to laugh in our home. So we have something special we wanted to show you, and hopefully will make you laugh, because this is called photo momming. Wherever you go, children, we want to be there. We want to be included in your lives. In every picture, we will follow you. Anyway, love you. Okay. I hope this works.
I get it.
I'm not cool enough to be on your Instagram pics or your Snapshots.
Mom! This is my day! Stop it!
I flippin' made you. So deal with it.
You wouldn't be taking a picture every second of your awesome life if it weren't for me. Who do you think pays for those unlimited data plans, you little snot monsters?
Mom, no!
You wanna resist? Fine. Remember Facebook? Ruined that for you, didn't we? Sandwich bucket?
Oh, I love you more than anyone in the world. And honestly, if I have to look at another awkward dance photo, I'm gonna barf.
It's time for mothers to act.
Mom!
That is why I am going to photo mom the fun out of every single selfie. Every mundane, stereotypical frame will be adorned by me.
Until the day I die, I will be there in your life, photo-momming every picture.
Mom! Seriously? I drove you!
We're gonna photo-mom you like a mother.
Moms, in solidarity with the cause, if you see someone, anyone taking a picture, photo-mom it.
They will try to deny our existence. They will delete, retake, and edit. But we shall be there.
Looming over their shoulders, because we are mothers. And we will always be behind you.
After all, it takes a village to raise a child and save it from becoming a self-obsessed little miscreant.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Don't forget to share my statuses and share this with a mother you love.
And talk to your mom. It's Mother's Day for cricket's sake.
That made you smile, because we will follow you, because we made you. Actually, Jesus made you, but you know what? We had a part of that. So we love you. So happy Mother's Day. All right. Well, being a mom was one of the best things and one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life. What do you think about that, moms? Would you agree? No wonder God made them so cute as babies. If you knew how hard you would have to work, I'm not sure you would take them home. I was so overwhelmed when they gave me my first child in the hospital. I kept thinking, is there like a manual somewhere? Surely there is a, you do this, you do that, and then they do this. They sleep. No, mine didn't sleep. Mine cried. And I went sleepless nights. And I think I saw things in the corner of my eyes at times, which made you know that I was sleep deprived. And you know what? In the hardest times of my life, at midnight and at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you're rocking that baby, you're feeding that baby, you know what I would do? I would pray. Hardest times of my life, God was there. He saw the tears that I cried. He saw how frustrated I was. He saw how sleep deprived I was. He saw how hard it was. And God was there. I learned who God was in the hardest places of my life. And you know, that's a gift. You see, we say that we love God, and we do, and we believe God. And we can do that when it's easy. We're skipping through the tulips. I know, men, you don't skip through the tulips. But anyway, you know, you go on hunting. I mean, you do fishing. You do something. when it's hard and things don't make sense, God shows up. And then you have this strength in your heart because he sees you and he knows your name. My sermon is called You Are Not Forgotten. Many times moms feel forgotten. We wipe bottoms, we wipe noses, we make food for the kids to turn their nose up at, and then they don't want that, and they want to say, how many bites do I have to eat of this stuff? And then you're like, oh Lord, help me. You know, and you want to be a good mom. I mean, you want to have a good attitude. You want to do all the things that you're supposed to do to be a great mom. And then you go in your room and you cry because it's as hard as all get out. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever felt alone? I know moms do. I think dads do too. I think it's hard for dads. I think it's hard for dads to make money and to bring it home and to provide, only for bills to add up. And then, you know, as you get older, you lose your strength. Women, as we get older, we lose our beauty. It's difficult, isn't it? It's hard for men. It's hard for women. It's hard for young people. Growing up going, I don't know if I could do this thing. Young guys going, I don't know if I got this. What young women who goes, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. I don't know. And we all feel forgotten, don't we? I mean, I think it's not just a mother thing. I think it's a person thing. I think it's a human nature thing. We all feel forgotten. We all feel like people don't really see us. When I was younger, I can say that now. I'm 50, but you know, okay. When I was younger, I felt invisible. Here's my story. I felt like, and I'm not going to take it all up with this, but I felt like as soon as I walked in the room, people expected a certain thing of me. So I put my pastor's wife mask on. Happy, interested, praying, full of faith, love my husband, love my children, feel good about myself, feel pretty, strong in faith. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And then here's what happened. I'd go home and I would struggle. And honestly, some people don't know this, and some people do. I have a very big walk-in closet. I would go in my closet. My husband didn't even know this. I would sit in the dark closet in the corner, and I would cry because I was depressed, because I felt invisible. Nobody saw the struggle because I wouldn't let them in. Nobody saw who I really was because I was too afraid. Because I wanted to be the best person I could be. I wanted to be a good mom and a good pastor's wife. I wasn't trying to play a game. I just couldn't figure out how to get out of this place. And I was hurting really bad. And I was a pastor's wife, which made me feel even worse. Like, what kind of pastor's wife are you? How can you have, you know, faith for somebody else when you can't even get out of your closet? See, the enemy had me in bondage. He had lied to me. He said it was all about me performing, that people wouldn't really love me and accept me if I was honest. Because, you know, I mean, they might reject me and they might turn their back on me. I'll tell you something. When you live in darkness, bondage, fear, all those things grow. Hallelujah, God gave me children. Do you know why? Because I couldn't control them. They kind of revealed all of my stuff. And you know what I had to do? I had to take it to the Lord. One of the things I decided to do as I was open with my husband, I started going to counseling. And I believe totally in counseling. I continue on a regular basis. My husband and I go to counseling at times for our marriage and things like that because I believe that we need people to speak into our lives. You know why? Because we have blind spots. Every one of us struggle. And so the way you grow, the way you do your life is you do it in the light. In the light. Because the enemy what? Flees. Flees. Be honest. Be open. So one of the best things God has ever done for me is give me children and help me live in the light. Well, we're going to talk about forgotten. I have felt forgotten in my life. I want to read a story to you about a person who was forgotten indeed. His name is Mario Rodriguez. He actually is from my favorite country. He's from Nicaragua. I'm going to read you his story a little bit here. Mario Rodriguez should not be alive today, Growing up in the suburbs of Los Angeles, he led a fairly normal childhood and comfortable existence. But everything changed when at the age of 15, he uncovered a painful past wrought with adultery, malice, brokenness, and as he would come to find, attempted murder. Born in a remote area of Esteli, Nicaragua, to an unmarried mother and an alcoholic father with 25 other children, Mario was thrown into an open hole of an outhouse and abandoned to die. His mother then lodged large stones in the pit to ensure his death and cover up her crime. And it wasn't until days later when a group of boys playing soccer nearby heard the cries coming from within the outhouse. And then Mario was rescued and taken to the hospital. Why he didn't even bear a scratch or a bruise was beyond reason or explanation. Why he was miraculously that he landed on a wedged board that broke his fall baffled everyone. And after a long period of deep questioning and hurt following the discovery of his past, he began living in the confidence that he is alive today for a reason. He is alive today for a reason. So he had this awful, painful past, and he found out about it, and he felt forgotten, and he wondered, what in the world was he going to do with all this stuff? But he became, all of a sudden, as he leaned to the Lord with his pain, he began to have a purpose in life. Purpose. Purpose is huge. Purpose is huge. You need to have a purpose in your life every season. When you're younger, when you're older, you need to have a purpose in your life. And he discovered his purpose. This is him. And this is the outhouse where he was thrown. He went back to Nicaragua, and now he's helping children and people off the streets. And God has turned his life around because of that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that, but also want to talk about, what about the Bible? What does God say about being forgotten? You think people in the Bible experienced feeling forgotten or was forgotten? They did. They were people. We could talk about Noah. He built that ark. People were making fun of him. It had never rained from heaven. So people were making fun of him. So many years. Just kept on building. And people laughed. They jeered at him. Probably felt forgotten, you think? What about Abraham and Sarah? And you're going to have a child. Hey, Sarah laughed, right? And then she tried to do it on her own strength, because that's kind of what we do, right? We think, oh, God's forgotten, so I'm just going to do it my own way. Of course, then we know what happens when we do that. What about Hannah? Hannah wanted a baby. She went in and prayed. And Eli the priest thought she was drunk. That was really encouraging, but she was pouring her heart out to God. What's interesting to me in the scripture, as we read these stories, a lot of times you'll hear God or you'll read God say, and then God remembered. God remembered Hannah and gave her a son in his timing. God remembered. Here's some scriptures that talk about this. Oh, one more I got to tell you about David. Was David forgotten? David was forgotten his father. They were getting a big king thing going on, and all his brothers were there, but, you know, David wasn't there. Father forgot him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got, he's in the field. How's it feel to be forgotten by your father? It's hard. God doesn't forget us. Hebrews 13:5b, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And of course, I've talked to you about this scripture. It is a physical leaving. God never leaves us physically, and he never turns his heart from us. No matter how far we go, no matter what we do, his heart is for us, never against us. Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you. He writes this on the palm of his hands, and your walls are continually before me. Psalm 46:1, God is our strength. He's our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. But if anyone loves God, 1 Corinthians 8:3, remember this, ladies? If anyone loves God with awe-filled reverence, obedience, and gratitude, he is known by him as his very own, and he's greatly loved. Remember that one? So if God is with us and he is for us, why do we still feel forgotten? Why? Well, let's talk about a woman who felt forgotten. Mark 5:21-34, and I'm using the NIV. 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman, this is where we come, a woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed. She was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So we don't know this woman's name. We just know she'd been suffering for 12 long years. So she'd went from doctor to doctor for trying to get healed, tried spending all of her money, everything she had. And she didn't even get 1 ounce better. Not even 1 ounce, till all her money was gone. So I want you to understand this. Her disease, whatever it was, made her unclean. What that meant for her in that time, she was isolated. She was not allowed to be around anybody. She would be living out of town. She could not be around anyone. So we don't know. This woman may have had a family. I don't know. She had friends. But for 12 years, she has lived as an outcast, isolated, all alone, desperate to get well. She was desperate to get well. She had done everything. Can you relate to her? Even though you may not be dealing with something physical, maybe you are. Maybe it is a situation that you feel like, years. When am I ever going to get past this? When am I ever going to get better? When is our relationship ever going to get better? When is my marriage going to get stronger? When am I going to see my children? And whatever it is that you are believing God for. Are you in that place? Have you spent all you had? Are you there yet? Are you in a place of desperation? That's where this woman was. She was desperate for God to move. One of the hardest places to be in our lives, but yet one of the best places to be in our life, is when we get to we are done with ourselves. I have done everything I could possibly do. I have done this, and I have done that, and I have done this, and I have done that, and we still are in the same place, and maybe even worse. Okay, God. What do you want to do? What are you going to do? See, that's where this woman was. Sometimes we have to get to the place where we'll do whatever God says to do. We may look like an idiot. It doesn't matter because we're desperate for God to move. I want you to understand, this woman was going to die. She was going to die regardless. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She was weak. You got to know she was weak. She was tired. She didn't feel good all the time. All the time. She was a desperate woman. So what do we do? What do we do when we feel forgotten and we're in this place of frustration? What do we do? How do we handle that? Well, you know, she had every right to be angry. She had every right to be discouraged and depressed. She did. She could sit down. Have you ever done that? You know, I'm so mad, and I just sit down. Well, that helps, right? That just helps. We just sit down. We're all angry. It's like a two-year-old who gets mad and sits. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to tell you that you're a two-year-old, but you know, it's kind of me. I sit down and throw a big, massive fit. And then you know what? I'm just tired afterwards. I've done nothing. That didn't change the situation at all. But you know what? She had every right to be discouraged. But she got healed. How did that happen? How did that happen? How did that woman happen to get healed? 12 years she had been isolated. 12 years she'd been living with this. How did she get healed? Good question. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what we do when we're forgotten. What do we do when we're in a situation where we've done everything we can? What do we do then as Christians? What do we do? Okay. What caused her to get up in her sickness, in her pain, and to find Jesus? What caused her to do that? One day she just went, "Woo! I'm going to get up. I'm going to go find Jesus." You think that's what she did? I think that she'd been hearing about Jesus. I think it's been going around. See, he was just on the other side of the lake. Remember that demoniac dude, all the demons, in him, named Legion? Jesus had just obliterated them, set that guy completely free, totally in his right mind. And he was crazy. And she had heard about it because that was on the other side of the lake. And don't you think she didn't hear about that? She heard about it. She knew he was coming. She knew he was coming, and she was ready. Why was she ready? Number one, what do? You increase your faith. How do you do that? How do you build your faith up? If you're in an area that you have struggled and you're like, "I can't get free of this," you can in Jesus' name. But how do you do that? You get those scriptures. Yes, don't roll your eyes at me. I didn't see anybody rolling. But you know, you do. Because what? The Word of God is active and living. It is powerful. Do you want to live differently? Do you want to transform life? It's in the Word of God. Well, you can sit and do it in your own strength, but you know what? You're going to be tired, and you're going to go around the mountain again. Around the mountain. And you know what? The devil laughs because he doesn't care how many times you go around the mountain as long as you stay in bondage. As long as you get discouraged and you sit down, he's like, "I don't care." You know when he gets upset? You know when he gets hot and bothered? When you get up and you get the scripture out and you pray in the Spirit. Because every single day I pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit. Somebody asked me, they said, what's the big deal about praying in the Spirit? I said, let me tell you something. I wouldn't be here if I didn't pray in the Spirit. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't Spirit filled. I wouldn't have gotten out of that closet. I'd still be hiding in the closet when I go home. It's the power of God. It connects me to God. It gives me hope. When I'm praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden scripture comes in my mind. I'm like, "Oh, well, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind." That is what the Word of God says. I may not feel it. I may not see it. I may still be struggling, but the Word of God says I have power. I am loved, and I am not crazy. I am not intimidated. For if God be for me, who can be against me? God is for me. Are you making sounds to me? God is for me, right? Who can be against me? It is the Word of God. You get that Bible out. You get those scriptures. You stand on the Word of God. You pray in the Spirit. You put that worship music on. And you might look like a fool, and your kids might come in there and go, "What are you doing?" Say, "I'm worshiping Jesus. Because we're going to get out of this hole, and we're going to get free in Jesus' name, because it's already done." See, God has already done it. We have to walk in it. We have to grab hold of it. There's something about faith that we grab hold. You see, faith causes us to move. See, faith says, when you're playing sports, playing tennis, that ball's coming. I got to get the right place and hit that ball back. I'm a softball player, so I was always trying in the outfield to get the ball, so I had to position myself, right, to catch the ball. Faith is the same way. If that woman was sitting there going, "You know, this is unfair, and I hate this. I hate my life. I hate my life. I am sick, and I am tired, and I've spent all my money." You relate to her? I have. That's me in the floor having to fit. "This is unfair. I don't like this. I don't want to go through this. This is not right. This hurts. I do all the right things. 1 + 1 = 2. And I keep pressing the button. Remember my 1 + 1? 4 + 4 = 8. Doggone it, it keeps getting to be 36. Oh, I'm so mad, and I'm mad at God. But you know what? I'm not getting anywhere. You have to examine, what are you saying to yourself internally? What are the things that you're saying? Because for faith to happen, you got to get a hold of what you're saying inside. Ladies and young girls, if you're sitting there and looking in the mirror all the time, I'm so ugly. Look, I'm so fat. Look, I got this thigh roll. I got this little arm roll. I got thunder thighs. I mean, I'm telling you, stop doing that. Stop it. Stop it. Our culture wants you to do that. It leads to bulimia. It leads to an eating disorder. Stop it in Jesus' name. Stop it. God has made us wonderful and beautiful. I am wonderful and beautiful. I am made in the image of Christ. I am beautiful. You keep saying it, even if you don't believe it. You keep saying it because it is truth. Truth will transform your mind. Truth will transform and set you free. So you need to do that. And that's what I believe this woman did. Jesus is coming. Do you know why? Because she said, if I touch him, I'm going to get whole. If I touch him, I'm going to be healed. I just need to touch his clothes. That's all I need. Do you think that came overnight? It didn't. It didn't. She was sick. She was hurting. She was weak. People didn't want to see her. She was full of shame. People saw her and was like, she's unclean. She was the woman that lived on the outside of town, unclean. That was her reputation. They don't want to see her. You know what she could have did? Oh, nobody wants to see me. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. They're all going to yell at me when I go out. I'm just going to sit here in my house. Yeah, and she would have sat there and died. So how do we increase our faith? You read your word. You resist the enemy. You call him what he is. He's a liar. Jesus Christ died. He sets us free. I'm telling you, this isn't just, I'm telling you, this is my testimony. This is my life. For a long time, I struggled with emotional eating. Up and down, wait, up and down, up and down. I'm not perfect, by the way. I still am walking through this. But I asked the Lord, Lord, why do I continually deal with this? What is wrong with me after I've eaten a whole bag of pretzels? I'm telling you, oh, no, not a small. No, you might think small. No, big. Big. Bag of pretzels. Sleeve of crackers, maybe two. I am telling you, I would eat those before I even knew I was like, oh, I'm not even hungry. Led to stomach issues, digestion issues, depression. Open the door, and guess what? Golly, what is wrong with you? The voice that was in the closet who told me I should shut up and be quiet and put shame on my life, same voice. Who do you think that is? Enemy, that's right. What is wrong with you? Why do you keep eating sleeves of crackers? What is that about? Well, you might as well not even try to get healthy. You're just gonna be this way, and your stomach's gonna always hurt. I said. So I asked the Lord. I'm like, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? This is embarrassing, and I don't like it. And my stomach hurts, and I'm puffy. I don't like that. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, you never invited me into this situation. You never asked me to come and help you. You'd always make your own plan, and then you go, God, please bless it, and then you run down the road. I'm like, yeah, I did do that. Oh, that's exactly right. But you know what? You know how I got that revelation? I pray in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, God speaks to me. And I'm like, that's right. So I was like, okay. Well, that's not going to happen again. So I ask him, help me, show me. And it's been a journey because Holy Spirit is my partner. I pick up the sleeve of crackers. What are you doing? I'm going to eat these crackers. Are you sure you want to do that? Well, no, not really. So what's wrong? See, now I have a choice. The Holy Spirit gives me a choice. Oh, what's wrong with me? You're angry. Oh. I am angry. That's why you're wanting to eat the whole sleeve of crackers. But you need to bring your anger to me because I'm the one that makes a difference. You eat the whole sleeve of crackers. You can do that, but now you're angrier at yourself. And so there we go on the cycle. Round the mountain we go. And Jesus will go with us around the mountain. He loves us enough, but he's waiting for us when we're getting tired of going around the mountain. There is a solution. So he's been helping me. I just want you to know it's important. So increase your faith. Get with people who are doing things better than you are. I know that's hard. You know, if they're positive, their marriage is doing really good, you get with them. You talk to them. You read the books they read. You listen to podcasts they listen to. You get with them. If you're struggling in your marriage, you need to bring that to light. If you're struggling personally in your life, you need to bring that to light. You need to bring it into the light. There's great people here. There are great small groups here. There are great leaders here who will walk with you. There are great people here who've got phenomenal testimonies of unbelievable, you don't even know. They will help you. Lean into them. Ask questions. Get free. That's the main thing. All right. So faith moved her to get up. So number one, we increase our faith. Number two, we take action. We take action. She got up off her feet. She got up off her feet. She believed that God would do it. If we're really in faith, you're going to do, it's going to cause you to take action. Here's what I want you to think about. If you're believing for a financial breakthrough, if you're like, we're going to get out of debt, okay, then what action are you going to take that proves, so to speak, positions you, because faith positions us, right? It positions us to receive what God has already done for us. So if you believe in God for a financial breakthrough, are you planning for it? If I'm going to have a party at my house, okay, I plan for the party, right? We send out invitations, we get decorations, we clean our house, we get food. If you're planning and you're asking God for a breakthrough in your finances or in your health, what are you doing to prepare when it happens? See, she was ready to move when she heard Jesus went to town. She was ready. She had increased her faith. She was ready. She took action. She go, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to town. That was a risk, by the way. Huge risk. You know, people who do the same thing over and over expecting different results are, yes, persistent. Well, okay. All right, here's what she did. She got up. She heard Jesus was coming. What'd she do? She went through town. She got up. She had to push her way through people. You know what that meant? She could have been stoned. She was not allowed to touch anybody. Do you know it was a risk? Faith causes us to move and to take risks. She had to take a risk. She could have been stoned to death. By law, she was not allowed to be in town. By law, she was not to touch anybody. This was a mob of people around Jesus. This was large. They were intimidating, right? So this is a small lady. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She wasn't a big lady. She was weak. She was tired. She was sick. She had to get up off her seat, go to town, push her way through this mob of people who could have turned around and stoned her in a heartbeat. She was taking a risk. So you increase your faith, take action, right? What else do you stay focused? Number three, you stay focused. You stay focused. I'll push my way through the crowd. Okay, let me ask you a question. You think once you increase your faith, okay, and then you take action, are you going to have any resistance? Are you? What are you going to do? You'll sit down. You better be careful. You better stay focused. Stay focused. Here's what I do. I'm a talker. Yeah, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. I'm so excited because God has told me. And then somebody will go, are you sure? Didn't you try that last week and it failed? Oh, yeah, it did kind of fail. I don't know. Is that the voice in the closet? Or is that God? It's a voice in the closet. That's the enemy. And I know there are well-meaning people. I'm not against people. But sometimes people don't know what you're doing. They don't know the struggle you have. They don't understand the path that you're taking. You need to stay focused on what God has called you to do. You need to stay focused. You need to increase that faith. You need to take action. You need to stay focused. Because see, here's what's happening. Hey, Master Jairus, my daughter is about to die. My daughter's about to die. You need to come, come, come. Oh, he was in a hurry. Jesus is busy. Here's what people do. Oh, I don't want to bother Jesus. want to bother people. That's just, you know, that's just so hard. I mean, that daughter, that little girl, she's going to die. Jesus better go heal her. She could have done that. Oh, I don't want to bother anybody. See, it made it even worse because if she'd have touched somebody, she'd have made them unclean. And oh my gosh, they're trying to go and heal this daughter and this little girl, and everybody's in an uproar, and I better not bother him. No. She stayed focused. I'm going to touch his clothes. I'm going to touch his clothes. And I'm weak, and I'm tired, and I'm sick. And she still did it while she was weak, and she was tired, she was sick. She was still, but you know what changed? Her heart, her faith, her hope changed. Situation changed yet? No. Did she have anybody going, oh, move out of the way. Move it. Oh, she's coming. Did she have an advocate? Did anybody go, hey, woman, issue of blood. Come on over. That's what we wait. We wait for permission. And then it doesn't come. And then we're like, oh, it must have not been God. And then we sit down. And that's what the devil counts on. I don't know why I have these glasses up here. Anyway, helps me. That's what the devil counts on. He counts on you sitting down. He just counts on you sitting down because we're looking still at other people. We're looking at others. We're waiting for permission. Do you see me? Do you see me? Do you see, am I okay? Is it okay if I bother Jesus? Well, people aren't going to tell you, yeah. No. You get up, increase your faith, you get up, you take action. What else was it? You stay focused. That's exactly right. I was wondering. I was seeing if you all were staying focused. And you don't wait for permission. She pushed her way through the crowd. She pushed her way through the crowd. She touched his clothes. Boom. What happened? What did Jesus do? See, Jesus doesn't want to be bothered, right? So he was like, what is wrong with these people? That's what he did, right? He didn't like to be bothered. No. Oh my gosh, no. Oh my gosh, Jesus is so good. He will stop for you in a heartbeat. He will stop for you in a heartbeat. He knows your name. You are not forgotten by God. You may be forgotten by people, but God knows who you are. He saw me in the closet every single time I was there. He was with me. He loved me. He gave me hope. He encouraged me. He put people around me who would pray for me and walk with me and let me be completely honest. I am so grateful for that. See, God knows your name. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how old you are. When I was 8 years old, I knew God. He spoke to my heart. When I was 12 years old, I accepted a call to missions. God has been with me. He will be with you. He will speak to you. He will love you and give you hope. Don't get discouraged. You are not forgotten. And so he stops. And he asks this really crazy question. I'm like, I would have been the disciples. Are you serious? I mean, these are a throng of people. They're mobbing him. I mean, it's just motley crew. I mean, it's just dirt flying everywhere, and they're trying to get to Jairus' house. I mean, it's crazy. It's chaos. You may feel like you're in the most chaotic situation in the world, but if you touch Jesus' clothes just enough, he stops. Because I believe he was waiting for that woman. I do. He knew who she was. He's God. He knew she's over there in the crowd behind three people. I mean, I don't know. But he did. He knew who she was. He came there for her. He comes here for you. He comes here for you. In the midst of your chaos and your pain and your suffering and your confusion, if you reach out to him in the middle of it, he will stop. Because that's what he does. He stops. And he asks a question. Who touched me? Who was it? And of course, you know, disciples, are you crazy? They didn't say that. You don't say that to God. They're not good. And he kept looking in the crowd of people. Who touched me? Because he felt power come out of him. faith. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody who had increased her faith, who had been with people, who had took a risk because she was desperate. She had spent everything she could. She had spent everything. She could not do it on her own. Is this not a story of salvation? Is this not a story of salvation? We can't do it on our own. The Bible says, love your enemies. I'm like, no, I want to slap them. And when they cut me off in the road, I want to run over them. Okay. I do repent of those things. But I want you to know it is the first thought sometimes. See, Jesus in the Bible says, love your enemies. I'm like, how is that possible? I can't love my enemies. I can't even hardly love the people I'm supposed to. You laugh, but you know what's the truth. I mean, it's true, isn't it? How are we supposed to live for Jesus, truly? So we get saved. That's the easy part. We accept him into our heart because we realize we can't do it on our own. See, if we live in hate and we live in unforgiveness, we live our lives like that, then when you want to love your husband, you can't. When you want to love your children, you can't. Do you know why? Because you have chosen a path of unforgiveness and hate, and you've decided that you're going to do it on your own. And God says, okay, you do it on your own. But it's one way or the other. You can't live your life in hate and unforgiveness on your own and live in love and peace and joy. You can't do it because it's opposite of what God has called us to do. So this story is about salvation. It's about getting to the place where you've spent everything you can. You can't do it on your own. You absolutely need God to come in and change you. So what does he do? He says, who's touched me? And he's looking. And the woman is like, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm going to be stoned. I've touched him and now I have made him unclean. But except she's healed now though. She is healed because power went out because she increased her faith. She took that risk. She stayed focused. So she's trembling and she's crying and she's laying before Jesus and in the middle of the crowd. Why was it important for her to come forward? For Jesus' sake? Because Jesus didn't know who it really was? No. She could have slipped away in the crowd. Nobody would have known the better except Jesus and the woman. Why? You ever thought about that? Why? Why was this important for her to come forward? It was important for her. It was important for people. Because, see, she had the reputation for 12 years of being unclean. She had shame in her life. Nobody wanted her around. She'd been isolated for years. So now she has to come forward in front of all these people and take a risk. And she tells him the whole story. I mean, just probably crying and boohooing. It tells him everything. And what does Jesus do? I love this about the Lord. So he stops, he looks, he brings her in front of everybody. For years, she wasn't supposed to be in front of people. Do you realize she touched him? And Jesus Christ was not made unclean. He flipped it and made her clean because that's what Jesus does. And what I think is really important and very cool about this story, he didn't just heal her. See, that's what we want a lot of times. God, just change my situation. Just help me in this situation. Just heal me. Just do this. He did more than that. This is who Jesus is. He doesn't just meet us where we are. He totally gives us a new life. He says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace in front of everybody. And now everybody who shunned her and didn't want to be, they want to know her story. He just restored right in that second, just like he did the physical healing. He just gave her a new life. She had a new identity. Do you know that's what Jesus does? See, we're praying for one thing, the little small, and God will do it, but he comes in like a flood. And he said, not only am I going to heal you, I'm going to restore this. Because this is a God who does over and abundant. That's what he does in our lives if we let him. But we have to increase our faith. We have to work at that, increasing our faith, so we can be positioned. See, it's already done for us. But we have to be positioned to receive it. And then we have to take action. And then we have to stay focused. And then we tell our story. You tell your story. You tell all of it. Because people out there need to know about the power of God. This isn't a place where we just talk about fairy tales and we just hope one day that God will move. God moves. He is the same God that split the Red Sea. He is the same God that moved. And he continues to move if we will trust him. See, we're okay with just where we are. We're not desperate enough. We don't really truly want breakthrough in our lives. Well, we might say because we're a little uncomfortable, but we're not willing to do what it takes to really trust God to the end. See, we can't be complacent, guys. God has more for your life. You know, you may be right now raising small children, and you're like, how in the world is that? How is this God? I knew God in the mundane. I knew God when it was hard in the closet. I knew God getting up in the middle of the night with those children. I knew God through the hard times in life. And see, we don't realize this, but day in and day out, God is teaching us. If we'll invite him in, he's teaching us, and he has more for us. So let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you, God, that you are a God of miracles, that you are a God of hope. You know what? Let me have worship team come up here, and let's have some prayer folks come up. You know what? If you need prayer today, you want a breakthrough, if you are in a place in your life and you're going, you know what? I've settled. I need to stop settling. I need to take action. I need to increase my faith. I am in a situation right now that I've been in for years. And I need somebody to agree with me right now. I believe God is moving. And you know what? Come up here and come for prayer. If you want to just come to the altar, and if you just, you don't want to share right now with somebody, it's fine. Come up here and pray. God is in this place. God is a God of power. He's going to help you today. So, Lord, we love you. We just thank you. We thank you, God, that you see us. You see us, Lord, and you see us in every moment. You have hope for us today. You have not forgotten us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Love you all.
Will you all stand and sing with us?
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, we're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, we're hanging on every word. Come and speak to us, Lord.
Sing that again.
In Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God.